I'm Matt Baum, and this is the Ministry of Hemp podcast brought to you by ministryofhemp.com, America's leading advocate for hemp and hemp education. Welcome to episode 62 of the Ministry of Hemp podcast. And in the little over a year that I've been doing this show, I've learned a lot about you guys, the listeners, not just from talking to you when you call our phone line at 402-819-6417, which you can call, leave a message with your questions at any time. We love to answer your questions on the show. I've also learned a lot about you guys from the comments that are left on the podcast posts on our website, ministryofhemp.com. Based on your calls and your comments, it seems like there are a lot of you that are interested in wellness, and then there are others of you that are interested in medicine. Medicine as in, I have a condition, will this help? And wellness being, hey, I know I feel better when I do this after I work out, or this helps me sleep. Neither of which are bad, but on the medicine side, things can get really scary for some people when we start talking about pharmaceuticals and pharmaceutical companies. Now, I'm not going to get into the debate of whether or not they are giant evil corporations controlled by lizard people who want to drug us through the gills so we can't pay attention to what's going on anymore, although 2020 did kind of feel like that. But I will say there is something to be said for the rigorous amount of testing and study that goes into producing a drug for human consumption. Today on the show, I'm going to talk to two scientists. They're both out of England, and they're both scientific advisors for a company called Artelo. They recently wrote a paper about increasing the bioavailability of CBD. Now, we know that there is evidence that CBD has certain effects on the human body and the brain. It helps with anxiety. It can help with pain and inflammation. But one of the major problems with CBD is it's very hard for your body to process it, to actually pull it in and take it out of whatever it's in and introduce it into your bloodstream where it needs to get. And that's why a lot of different companies infuse it into tinctures and oils and pills and whatnot. What they are working on is called a co-crystal, which is fairly popular in pharmaceuticals from what I understand from our conversation. But this co-crystal basically bonds with the CBD molecule and makes it far more bioavailable than it's ever been before. This was an amazing conversation. And you're gonna hear in the very beginning, I had no idea what I was talking about going into it. I was trying to sound smart, and they very quickly correct me, and then we have a really good conversation. Now, we're not gonna get into crazy heavy science here, I promise. But what they are talking about could really change this business and just blow it wide open. Today on the show, I'm speaking with Professor Saoirse Elizabeth O'Sullivan and Dr. Andy Yates. Like I said, the two work together with Artelo to create something really incredible. And the more incredible part is it's not far off. It could be coming soon. Here's my conversation with Professor Saoirse Elizabeth O'Sullivan and Dr. Andrew Yates. So we are going to talk about a drug that you guys are developing, and it's one of the first patents, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but from what I understand, it's one of the first pharmaceutical patents that has been issued using CBD or hemp.
So I wouldn't say that it's necessarily the first patent, because other people have patents.
Okay.
For example, GW Pharmaceuticals have patents on their version of CBD that they use in epilepsy. It's just probably the first composition of matter patent, is that right, Andy, in terms of a new molecular structure or a new way of presenting CBD in this co-crystal format.
So it's not
a use patent, it's a composition of matter patent. There is probably other kind of structural variants on CBD where people have kind of played around with the molecular structure, and there'll be patents on those also. But in terms of kind of pure CBD, this would be a first.
Okay, so let's talk about that for a second. I mean, we're talking about the molecular structure, and you guys have come up with a new, you use the word crystalline structure, basically. So what is the structure that we start with when we're looking at, and tell me if I'm using the words right, a CBD molecule?
Molecule, yes. Okay. Yeah, no, that's right. Yes, yeah.
Okay.
But just how it's built out of its different elements, is the molecular structure.
Okay.
So CBD is CBD when you put together those elements in the right order, in the right orientation, you come up with the molecule that is CBD.
Okay, and you guys have affected it in a way that you can make it more potent, more useful?
So what Artelo have done is they've formed a co-crystal. So this is where you take a molecule of CBD and you bring it together with another compound, which in our case is a molecule that's used in Chinese medicine.
Okay.
So they've brought them together in what's called a co-crystal. And so that changes the physical properties of the molecule, because CBD has some physical properties that don't make it very easily usable as a medicine. So we need to try and improve its solubility and its absorption. And one way that pharmaceutical companies go about that is to make something as a co-crystal, attach it onto something else, and that can change the physical properties of the molecule that you're interested in order to make it more druggable and easier to give to person and basically better and more consistent exposure to that drug within a patient.
So the idea being,
if I may come in, we've taken everything that we love, if you wish, about CBD, kept that exactly the same, but taken away some of the bits that we don't love about CBD, which is its crystallinity, its melting point, potential stability, and its bioavailability. And we've added something else into it as an integral part of the crystal structure. And we hope that that will improve the way that we can use CBD as a medicine.
So basically, the CBD molecule is kind of a jerk. And we know it does good stuff, but this jerk doesn't want to play with your system very well. And you have created something, a friend, that is saying, hey, take it easy, jerk. Let's get along.
They hold each other's hands as they work through the body.
Settles CBD down, walks him into the body, and says, all right, see, you feel better now, right? And he goes, okay, I was nervous. It was nothing. My bad. Basically.
That's a great analogy. Okay. Yeah, very well characterized.
I'm for hire if you need a PR department, by the way. So just let me know. I'm really good at boiling this stuff down, if nothing else. I'll be honestly, I tried to prepare for this, and I went back through like all my like college chemistry that took us like, oh God, it's gone. It's just gone. And I'm like, I'm going to sound like the biggest idiot. So thank you for bearing with me on this one. So the co-crystal you've created, you said it's from Chinese medicine. Now, I am a skeptic by nature. And so when I hear a term like Chinese medicine, my first knee-jerk reaction is, you know, like, oh boy, that sounds a little out there and whatnot. But
and it's funny because that's the reaction some people have about cannabis-based medicines.
I did when I got into this.
And the molecule that we've, you know, that we've used in the co-crystal is something where we know the molecule really well. It's something that's really widely used in Chinese medicine. It has kind of widespread clinical use, lots of clinical trials. It's the particular active ingredient of this plant. So
okay.
It's a very similar story to CBD and the cannabis plants as this molecule, which is called tetramethylpyrazine or TMP.
We'll go with TMP for the rest of the interview.
It's very analogous between the plants and these active molecules.
Okay, so it's part of Chinese medicine in the sense that it is a part of the plant, part of several plants, I guess, that are used in Chinese medicine. So it happens to be there. And I guess my question was, what worried me was, like you said, there's been lots of clinical studies that show that this works as a binder. What other kind of stuff does this TMP molecule bind to? Like, what else does it help with?
So, sorry, it's not that it is used in Chinese medicine as a binder. It's used as itself, as the molecule, as a drug in Chinese medicine.
Okay, I guess it happens to be there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and to be honest, that's not why it was chosen. I mean, there was a chemistry screening process where lots of different potential co-formers were assessed, because not all. You know, you have the analogy of the two guys walking through the body hand in hand. Not all molecules want to be friends.
Right.
And there was only a few of them in the chemistry screening that was done. There was only a few that actually wanted to hold hands with CBD. And it just happened that TMP was one of them. The fact that TMP has its own clinical profile is wonderful. And, you know, in best case scenario, might add some advantage onto the Artelo CBD co-crystal. But actually, that's not why it's there. It's there really just to be holding the hand of
right.
CBD.
Okay.
And if it adds to CBD, then wonderful. But it was kind of happenstance that it was one of the ones that came along that did want to hold hands with CBD.
Andrew, you were
going
to say.
Also of interest to your listeners, not only does it have a usage in traditional Chinese medicine, but it also has a use in food flavoring.
So oh, really?
It's bringing a coffee mocha vibe to CBD.
Okay.
As the tones of TMP are used often in coffee and mocha flavored
really?
Food yeah. products. Yeah.
So when you go get like a McFlurry or something, which is we all agree is not coffee, but has the vaguest hint of coffee flavor, there could be TMP involved.
That could be TMP in there. Yeah.
It could indeed.
Interesting. So this drug that Artelo is developing is going to be tested for PTSD. And
yeah, there's a variety of different areas that Artelo are interested in, but PTSD is definitely one of the probably the first areas of interest. There's other conditions in which CBD is useful, like inflammatory bowel disease and stroke. And they're also kind of on the horizon, but PTSD is probably the first indication that Artelo would try and pursue through clinical research.
Okay. So why PTSD? How did we happen upon that? Is it because of the anti-anxiety factors of CBD? And I guess my next question is it worth going after CBD to treat this so much so that you created a co-crystal to help the body accept it better, whereas there are already other treatments for PTSD that are out there? Is this one, do you believe, from what you've seen in your research, do you believe this is worth it and will be a better treatment?
So both of those things are true. So it's because CBD is very good at reducing anxiety, and there's quite a good evidence base from scientific and clinical literature to show that. And there's an awful lot of research going on in this area. So we are not the only people who think that CBD is a good anxiolytic agent. There's lots of research going on there. But in order to develop a licensed medicine, we need something that is going to be really good, good bioavailability, getting, you know, good absorption, good stability, all the things you want from a good drug, and have patentability. Because if you're going to develop a medicine, it's quite a costly process.
Of course.
So we need a good CBD, a reliable CBD that we can give in specific doses, and that we can prove in an area which is probably considered to be an area of unmet need. So there are medications available for PTSD, but they're not without their side effects.
Right.
Some of them can have limited efficacy. So I think that people who work in this area would say there's definitely a need for a new medicine in PTSD, and CBD is really emerging as something that is of interest in lots of different anxiety disorders. It's not just PTSD, but
absolutely.
Like social anxiety disorder, generalized anxiety disorder, social phobias. There's lots of research going on that points to, and controlled, randomized controlled data that points to CBD being effective in these areas.
And two additional adds to that. The one of the other big parts of PTSD is ability to sleep.
Yeah.
And CBD is a known aid to sleeping, and we think that would obviously help the syndrome itself. And the other aspect is that if you're not going down this route of, as you said, coupling it with a friend to help it into the body,
right?
The other way of doing it, as I'm sure you've seen from shops that sell CBD,
yeah.
is to dissolve it in oil.
This is my next question. I'm glad you're going.
Yeah, you have to hold it under your tongue. And I think what we've done with this sort of friendly crystal is that you could start to think about formulating this now in a capsule or a pill, which I think most people would agree is a much more convenient way to take CBD for the majority of the people. I'm not saying that's for everyone. Other companies like GW have been developing medicines for children. So they're quite happy to put CBD in an oil or an alcoholic-based solution. So we've really got an advantage there with our co-crystal when it comes to thinking that we've designed or we've pre-programmed into the solid form some good characteristics that will make it easily or more easily to, attunable to a tablet form.
So, Andrew, let me ask you, based on what you were saying on bioavailability, I'm glad you went there because that was my exact next question. This co-crystal is designed to help the body accept CBD better. If I'm not using that, if I just, say, I have a tincture, a high-quality CBD tincture, like you said, and I'm putting it under my tongue, what would you say is the amount of CBD that I'm getting, just percentage-wise, rough percentage-wise, versus what I would get from CBD with this co-crystal?
I would love to be able to give you a flavor of that. We're actually doing that work right now to understand it. And I think it would be disingenuous of me to say where those levels could be.
You scientists.
I think we can say in general that the fact that if you're using a sublingual oil, just of any type of CBD, we're not talking about our CBD, but probably the bioavailability is maybe 20 to 25% under the tongue.
Okay.
Whereas if you're just taking a capsule or a tablet orally, it's probably, you know, less than 10%.
So, in general terms.
I was like, hold up my bottle. Like, how much am I getting when I pour this in my eyeballs?
Sorry, you know? I thought you were asking what the difference would be between our co-crystal and what you can get.
No, I guess more broadly, it seems like there's a lot of research going into this that is we have found, like you said, CBD does not want to be absorbed by our body very well.
Correct.
So we put it in carrier liquids. We put it in powder forms. We nano-encapsulate stuff.
We inhale it.
Yeah.
That's what we've always done because actually inhalation is still the best method, delivery method.
Right.
In terms of getting as much of the drug into your system as possible. It may not stay around for very long, but there's a reason why people have always inhaled.
Sure, sure.
But people like to take drugs orally. People like to take tablets, as Andrew said. And if we know that with a tablet, only 10% of that drug is going to get into the system,
yeah,
then clearly what pharmaceutical companies want to do is make a tablet that has better bioavailability.
Of course,
because all of that drug is being wasted. You know, you're not 90% of that drug is being excreted. So it's,
right.
It's not good. It's not good for the economy. It's not good for the environment.
Yeah, it's not good for anybody.
It's not good for the patient.
And it's also around the variability as well. You know, we know, as Saoirse said, that, you know, taking a tablet when you've got an empty tummy will be different for your bioavailability for when you take a tablet and you've eaten a meal.
Of course.
Particularly if the meal's fatty.
Right.
These things can really affect, you know, if one day it's a 10% bioavailability and the next it's a 25% bioavailability, you can expect you're going to get lower and higher efficacy and safety side effects.
Sure.
So if we can bring a crystal to the market which does things just more reproducibly, both within the same patient and between patients, so that, you know, every person in the clinical trial, every person using the drug, you take the pill, you get 20%.
Right.
That's a much better place than where we are now, where it's a bit of a sort of coin toss of whether you're going to get a low or a high dose today.
Right. So just the fact that you can establish, well, we all got X, that's a starting point that we have not had up to this point yet, because of all the different ways that it's being taken, the different ways it's being delivered, the different potencies and whatnot. This sure sounds like when this research comes out and is accepted, it sure sounds like it's kind of going to blow the entire CBD market up pretty badly in the sense that a lot of people that are making claims, which is good, I think it's a good thing, but a lot of people that are making claims like this is the best way to do it, or we have the highest quality, or all of a sudden the bioavailability is going to come into play. And now that you can prove, well, this co-crystal increases bioavailability, this is kind of where everybody has to go next, right?
So I think for me, it is. You know, I think you've hit the nail on the head. If this delivers everything we think it can deliver and promise what we think it can promise, then it is a game changer for CBD in many respects, because suddenly it's the go-to form. And we're talking here whether it be the well-being market, the one that we over the counter, but particularly in the pharmaceutical field, it's the go-to form that you would be putting your money, your energy into,
right?
So that the patients are getting that reliable, consistent dosing each day, higher dosing. For the pharmaceutical industry, it has one other connotation. And sometimes, you know, profits and intellectual property is a sort of a bit of a dirty word.
Mm-hmm.
But in order for any pharmaceutical company to spend the tens stroke hundreds of millions of dollars to turn a drug into a PTSD therapy or a PTSD therapy or another therapy area, it has to know that it's able to recover and make some money for its shareholders who put the money in at risk.
Of course.
And what we found so far, and if you look at a company like GW, is that it's stayed away from areas which it doesn't have this, what they call orphan drug protection behind it. So all of these conditions that they're trialing their drug in tends to be in small groups of patients that they wouldn't normally have a therapy designed for them, but
right.
People like the FDA and the European equivalents give a special dispensation for people who develop medicines in orphan drugs. And one of them is they call it data exclusivity. So if you spend money and develop a drug in an orphan indication, you get rewarded by the regulators with a longer period of time before people can start piggybacking on your data.
That's amazing.
So that's great.
So if you do that here, you just get fired and then you get made fun of in the news. And so, and maybe you get shot. I don't know. It's America. So things are crazy right now.
it's really great. But what it does do is it limits where people will spend their money developing CBD right now.
Sure.
And I think with the co-crystal, you take the handcuffs off and you allow people like Artello or maybe others that want to come in and work with Artello and sort of borrow or pay us to borrow our technology, suddenly you can start developing in diseases that aren't orphan drug and
right.
know that your investment is protected through the patent that you brought up right at the very beginning of the show.
Right. It's kind of a gnarly game, but it's a game you have to play if you're going to bring this to market. And if this yep. will do what you think it's going to do, I mean, it's pretty amazing. Because like you said, there can't be a whole lot of money in PTSD treatment. It's not like something we see TV commercials where, do you have PTSD? Maybe you can talk to your doctor about, you know, Narcoflex or whatever, you know? So I think the fact that it makes me feel a little better that you guys are developing a drug for something like PTSD to show that it works there. And then from there, it opens up.
And then
up.
You go on. Yeah, yeah. I mean, and that's, that, as Andy is saying, the beauty is with that IP behind you, you have the potential to go into much bigger patient populations.
Right.
So ultimately, this is going to be good to patients because, you know, Epidiolex is only available for these very rare forms of epilepsy.
Yeah.
But every kid with epilepsy wants it, but that's not what it has its license for because they've gone down that route. Whereas, you know, if we can produce something which is going to hit a much bigger patient population, then that's obviously going to be really good. And yeah, you start with PTSD, but then you might go into generalized anxiety.
Right.
Then you might go into other mental health conditions or sleep. You know, if you get a good signal with sleep, you might go into insomnia. You've just got to start somewhere and somewhere where you've got a good hope that it's going to be successful as well. And actually, you know, PTSD is on the rise, and especially in the post-COVID era, there's going to be an awful lot more PTSD. And that's something that we're quite mindful of. There's going to be an awful lot of people who suffer with mental health conditions because of the pandemic and the impact that it's had on them socially and financially. It's huge. And the estimates of the rates of PTSD are that they're going to really significantly increase, and especially in frontline workers, people who've been exposed to the disease.
Oh, most definitely.
So, you know, we can see that in the short term, this is going to be, you know, a really important market to be proving the co-crystalline.
So let's talk about sleep for a second, because you brought that up earlier about how it's excellent in treating PTSD or any trauma. Sleep is definitely one of the biggest issues. Now, this molecule that you have created, this co-crystal, binds really well with CBD. We're seeing a lot of companies in the industry saying that CBN, a different cannabinoid, is very useful in sleep. Will this co-crystal behave the same with something like CBN, or is that a whole different jerk of a molecule that needs an entirely different buddy or something.
So CBN is a completely different molecule. And actually, it's funny because it often has a reputation for being sleep enhancing, but it actually doesn't have as much evidence as CBD does.
Really?
For sleep disorders. No, CBD definitely has far better evidence. In fact, there's very little clinical use of CBN, if any, that I can think of. I can't think of any clinical trial.
Yeah, it's very new. And the same CBN. With CBG yeah. is so another this one.
This is definitely an anecdote. Rather than something which has an evidence base. Whereas at least with CBD, we do have an evidence base. There is randomized controlled data, either where sleep has been looked at as the primary endpoint, so specifically in people who have sleep disorders.
Right.
But actually, more often, what you see in a clinical trial is that the CBD is being used for something else, but sleep is coming back consistently as being one of the other symptoms that's positively affected by CBD. So okay. It's one of the secondary findings of a trial. So we have quite a lot of information with CBD in areas like autism, Parkinson's, Crohn's disease, other types of conditions where people are reporting that they're sleeping better when they're taking CBD. And actually, being sleepy is also one of the side effects of CBD. So
right.
we have that as a signal as well. So I think CBN has the rep, but probably CBD has a better evidence base.
Gotcha. So it's one of those things where, and I realize I may be asking you out of your field here because you've been focusing on one thing, but it does seem like the claims are being made again. And with a health claim like sleep, it's not like you're saying we're going to, hey, you blind guy, you'll be able to see again. That would be a health claim they can't make. But something like sleep, like I take a CBD with CBN in it. To help with sleep. And chances are, from what it sounds like you're saying, it's the CBD that's putting me to bed. So
I would say until somebody does the trial and convinces me otherwise, all I can go on is the data that I have seen. And I haven't seen data with CBN. So it might be excellent.
Right.
But nobody has tested it yet. So it could be that people find it's good. There could be anecdote of it. And that's a great place to start if you want to design a study. But we just don't have that kind of empirical evidence yet about CBN. So, and it may be that the combination is excellent. If you were designing something which was purely a sleep aid, then maybe a combination of CBN and CBD is great.
But we got to do the work first.
Yeah, we're just not at that level of kind of granularity, I think, in cannabis-based medicines of knowing exactly which combinations of compounds to put together.
Sure.
But the probability is that CBN is probably just like CBD in that it most of these compounds from the plant are very fatty, lipophilic. And so they all have these problems that they're not very well absorbed. So it may be that CBN needs a friend as well.
Just a different friend. We'll find out.
Who knows what the friend will be.
Right. How far away are we? I assume if you're talking to a podcaster in Omaha, Nebraska right now, you guys feel pretty positive that this is coming through and it's going to happen. How far out are we from this co-crystal exploding onto the scene?
Andy, you're better at these, understanding the length of pipelines.
I think in something like PTSD, which has already got a good evidence base in it, which is one of the reasons we chose to develop in that area, we're looking roughly at being able to generate clinical data. So the sort of data where Saoirse said before, where we have compelling evidence that our co-crystal does something in PTSD, I would say you're looking at sort of a 2 to 3 year time horizon from where we are now before you'd be seeing that data come out. Beyond that, to get something which would be available to go to your doctor, your physician for, you're probably looking at another 2 to 3 years on top of that. That's okay. The realistic sort of time frame that you're looking at for a true drug developer to do this. That being said, Artelo Biosciences aren't exploring this, but potentially, people might want to come and talk to us about using this co-crystal in the well-being market. And if that's the case, then obviously without putting claims behind it, but potentially having knowledge that this is better absorbed or more consistently absorbed by the body, This could be available on the shelves, you know, within a year if it wanted to be used in that sort of way.
So I'm not asking you to bust any deals here, but have you been approached by anyone? Because I guess I was of the mindset that, and I don't know how this works, but I was of the mindset that once you go down this pharmaceutical path, we do not sway from it. Like, we're not allowed to. I thought maybe there was a direct line. Yeah, I didn't know that you could be approached by like a private company and say, we want that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we've been approached by a lot of companies to talk about our portfolio because, you know, it's sort of a bit out there in the sense of all of our compounds target the endocannabinoid system.
Right.
That's a sort of fairly hot topic, a very relevant topic. So we speak to a lot of people all the time about our innovations. I mean, obviously I couldn't say if we're speaking about this specifically with any partner. But what I think is of interest is that particularly in Europe, and the US has some interesting views and rules on this, but in Europe, it's clear that you could develop this in a well-being product and you could develop it as a pharmaceutical. You may not wish to do that for commercial reasons, but there's nothing stopping you from the laws and the regulations from doing that. And I don't see why you couldn't do that in the US, particularly because it's not approved as a medical product. And as Saoirse said at the beginning, you have to see this molecule with its friend, the way that it's co-crystallized.
Right.
It's a sort of unique sort of chemical entity. It's got unique composition of matter. So until it is a medicine, if you wish, the analogy is it's not a medicine.
Right.
It can be put into products to. So we'll see, watch this space.
Kind of straight CBD is available over the counter,
right,
or through Epidiolex. So it already exists in these dual worlds.
So it's not a matter of like they could put it in a purple pill and give it a crazy name and patent it, and now no one can use that crystal but them. This is the kind of thing where, yes, it could be very available and very soon.
Absolutely, it could be. If somebody wants to come and speak to us about using this in a well-being product, as I say, that's not Artello's remit, but if people want... Because the thing is, I mean, with some drugs, as you probably know, they can be developed in different therapy areas. And obviously, we would hope to do that with the co-crystal. But sometimes, it's probably not commonly known for necessary listeners of the show, but pharmaceutical companies can sometimes do these types of deals. And it sort of sells the rights for the drug in Parkinson's disease to company A.
Yeah.
And it sells the drug for the treatment of... pain conditions to company B. It's called splitting indications.
Right.
Now we're not invoking to do that, but potentially you could see something where somebody wants to have this as a wellness product, and Artello don't wish to develop it in that space. So yeah.
Let me ask you: Are other people working on this too? Because not too long ago, I spoke to a vet that was out of, I think it was Murray State. I can't remember for the life of me now. But they were working on a study with aging dogs and arthritis and how CBD affected the inflammation and whatnot in the dogs. And one of the things he mentioned was, I can't say he used the word crystal, but an element that they were working with that was increasing the bioavailability majorly. And he said, I can't say the name. I can't talk about it. It's very exciting and it's coming and it's huge. Was it you guys? is it you?
Andy and I can both comment on this, is that it's widely known that CBD isn't great by itself. And
right.
So lots of people are looking at ways to improve bioavailability. They tend to use different strategies. So there's multiple strategies in the pharmaceutical world of how to make a drug better. And so most companies so far have focused on things like using different types of solubilizers or maybe making emulsions or nano emulsions.
Right.
So using solubility enhancers is probably more common. And so through that way, can they improve the bioavailability of CBD? And so there's not an awful lot of data out there. A lot of people kind of claim that their CBD has enhanced bioavailability. There are some that have shown that, have demonstrated this through proper kind of pharmacokinetic profiles. So there are people out there who have developed ways of improving the bioavailability of CBD.
Okay.
But just not through the co-crystal strategy. Andy and I also recently wrote a paper called Towards Better Delivery of CBD.
Cool.
You could point people to that because it's a really good summary of yes. everything that people are doing in the pharmaceutical world, not just Artelo, but other companies as well. And so we basically summarize the strategies of lots of different companies who are trying to make CBD better.
Right.
And so it would be a really good thing to link to.
Because, yeah, please shoot me that link. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
That sounds totally awesome.
I don't
awesome.
Know whether... Obviously, we did that on Artelo time, so there is a, you know, not a conflict of interest because we did it in a very independent way of just looking at what was out there. But, you know, yeah. our summary is that we think that the Code Crystal, because this is a typical strategy of pharmaceutical companies to do the Code Crystals. And so we think it is applying that kind of pharmaceutical knowledge that Artelo have onto a common problem in drugs, you know,
yeah.
cannabis isn't unique, or cannabinoids aren't unique in having physical issues. And so there are lots of different ways that people can approach this. And I think Artelo have done a very smart job of making CBD better.
I mean, this really sounds like it's going to change everything. Like, not to mention the fact that once we can get something like a Code Crystal that, like you said, can prove that it's delivering X, a value of some kind, I think that'll go a long way with the American FDA setting up yeah. rules as well, because we can establish yeah. something and say, all right, this is exactly what it's putting in your body. And right now, maybe you're drinking olive oil, you know? I mean, it's...
Yeah, yeah, I mean, we actually did a study last year. Andy and I work for another organization in the UK called the Center for Medicinal Cannabis. And we actually took 30 over-the-counter CBD products. And we did find that one of them, with a fairly hefty price tag, was just olive oil.
Good.
There were no cannabinoids in there. So, you know, the there was a lot of issues in the over-the-counter CBD market. And, you know, and Andy's working really hard in the UK trying to solve those issues and have some regulation in the industry. You know, yeah. even when you have a good product, the best that it can be is still probably not as good as a consumer would want from a product.
Right.
And the doses, I mean, something we didn't really mention is that in a lot of the medicinal uses of CBD, you do need quite a lot of the molecule within your body for it to have the pharmacological effects that you
right.
need. And for that kind of dosing, you know, it's very difficult to achieve that with sublingual oils.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know, it's very difficult to get hundreds of milligrams of cannabidiol into your body using an oil. It's not a very effective way of drug delivery. It doesn't taste good.
Right.
You're never quite sure exactly how much you're getting
right.
because you're using a dropper trying to figure it out by yourself.
Yeah.
You know, tablets are consistent. You know, if you take a paracetamol, it's 500 milligrams of paracetamol.
Exactly.
It's always, wherever you go, that's how it comes. You know, we need to get to a very, you know, pharmaceutical way of delivering phytocannabinoids. If we want them to really be the best that they can be,
right.
we've got to have that approach to them. And tinctures and oils and foods, for me, are not, you know, necessarily the best way of, if you want it for medicinal reasons. Now, I'm not talking about what other reasons you might be taking them, but if you were trying to cure an ailment, you need to know what dose you're getting.
Sure. If you're targeting an anxiety, for example,
yeah.
then we need to target the anxiety, and we need to make
exactly.
sure
yeah.
everything we are shooting at it is getting to the anxiety.
Yeah. So that's why you need a you know, a product that you can have reliability and consistency and have good stability and absorption and
sure.
all the other things that, you know, over-the-counter medications should have.
Right. And you can write that right on the side of the bottle and say, this is exactly yeah. what it does. And we know that. Mm-hmm. That's important. Right. I think you guys are doing the work of the CBD angels right now. Honestly, thank you. I want to thank Dr. Andy and Professor Sirsha so much for coming on the show, putting up with my uninformed BS and gently correcting me, and also just for boiling a very heady, intense pharmacological discussion into something that we can all understand. And I cannot stress how important what they're working on is. If this Code Crystal can do what they say it can do, it literally changes everything. We're talking about better dosages, real dosages, putting less CBD into your dose, which brings the price of CBD down. I will have links to the paper they wrote in the show notes, and I will also have a link to the episode I mentioned where I interviewed Dr. Matthew Halpert about aging dogs and arthritis and how CBD is helping them. Speaking of show notes, here at the Ministry of Hemp, we believe that a more accessible world is a better world for everyone, so you can find a complete written transcript for this show in those show notes that I was just talking about. That is about it for this episode. Thank you again for listening, for downloading, for interacting. And if you have questions about what you heard, I'm going to repeat myself, but call us at 402-819-6417 and leave your hemp and CBD related questions. Now, those are questions about how it works, not telling me that you want to buy some, because people do that a lot, and that's great. And we've got all kinds of trusted brands that you can find right here on ministryofhemp.com. Speaking of ministryofhemp.com, get over there and check out our new review of the Levo 2. It's an infusion machine that allows you to make things like infused hemp butter and oil, which is fun. We also have, just in time for the holidays, our best 11 CBD skincare and hemp beauty products to help you create a hempy skincare routine. And if that's not enough for you, follow us on all of our social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Just search Ministry of Hemp. You'll find us. We're always putting up all kinds of quality information. And if you appreciate this quality hemp education, then please go to Patreon/Ministry of Hemp and become a Ministry of Hemp Insider. It is the best way to help us out, keep this show going, and keep us putting out high quality researched information on hemp and hemp products. Also, it gets you access to all kinds of like early articles and podcast extras. Like this week, I am talking with Dr. Andy about his side gig working with the UK's health system to make sure that CBD and other wellness companies are held to a very high standard when it comes to what is actually in the bottle. We sure could use someone like that here in the United States. Luckily, you've got us to help you with that. Like I mentioned, we have a trusted brand section of ministryofhemp.com, and we have our own seal, which says we researched it. We checked out the lab testing, and we know these people are for real. Next time on the show, we are going to talk about hemp straws and a company that is making them the right way, and why hemp plastic might not be as cool as we think it is. And guess what? I'm guilty of that. But hey, I'm here to learn, and I'm glad that you guys are here to learn with me. Now, it's starting to get cold outside, and COVID numbers are starting to spike again, so please take care of yourselves out there. Wash your hands, wear a mask. If you're feeling anxious, up your CBD dosage a little bit. I know I have, and it's really helped. Don't forget to take care of yourself, take care of others, and make good decisions, will you? This is Matt Baum with the Ministry of Hemp, signing off.